The Lord be with you.
It
is good to have you in the Lord's house on this holiest of weeks as we begin our journey to Golgotha and also to the empty tomb. The order of service is before you. We follow that this morning. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd stood there and heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly on Sunday. The echoes of those hosannas still ring in the narrow streets and alley of the holy city. Our Lord is about the last of his work on earth before he is handed over to be crucified. Some of the Greek visitors touring Jerusalem come to the disciple Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Not to look at him, but to believe in him. To believe in and to express their newfound faith in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is just days away from Passover, from bearing his cross to Golgotha as the Paschal Lamb for all. And Jerusalem is full of Jews from all over who had come to sacrifice their lambs so that the blood would cover their sins. But some Greeks, Gentiles, mind you, come to Philip, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And so amidst all of the clamor and the noise and the selling of animals and sacrifices and feast preparations and buying unleavened bread and making sure the kids have combed their hair and washed behind their ears, some Greeks come to Philip and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And you've started to make your own preparations for next week, for the Easter feast with the family, perhaps. You've probably started fretting over whether or not you have enough eggs to stuff, enough food in the house, if there's enough help for breakfast next Sunday, if people will remember to bring their chairs for the sunrise service. And amidst all of the clamor and the noise, there are voices which say, "I wish to see Jesus." It's easy to get wrapped up in the work of the celebration of the resurrection. Just ask me about Lent brain. Doing the things and going through the motions, making sure that everything is done and everything is just right. We all do. Today, and especially next week on Easter, we will revel in the worship and in the music and even the fun with the kids. But ultimately, you are here to behold the man, to see the one who was lifted up and drew all people to himself. Like those Greeks of old, you can boil down not just Easter, but each and every Sunday, and really all of your life, to that one plea: we wish to see Jesus. For He is why you gather here today, and this Thursday, and this Friday, and this Saturday for worship. And this is why next Sunday is so busy too, because without Jesus, without the Lamb who was slain for your sin, you'd have no reason to gather here. None. But even though He knew that this was the only way to accomplish your salvation, your Lord Jesus still wasn't so sure that He wanted to go through with it. He said, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. For this purpose, for this cross, for this grain to fall into the earth dead and to blossom and bear much fruit. This death for the world and for you." Our Lord's blood flowing down His cross, soaking into the ground of Adam's grave, pouring from His side, washing your sin away, bathing you in His cleansing blood, wrapping you in His righteous robe of forgiveness and grace. Yes, on big festival days like today and next Sunday, it's surprisingly easy to see Jesus. But what about every other week? What about on the weeks when you're distracted or when you're worried about something? What about when you're just comfortably on autopilot, drifting through life? Where do you see Jesus then? In all the same places, of course, in His Word. As Holy Scripture is open to you in faithful preaching and teaching, you see the crucified, buried, and risen to life again Jesus, your Savior, my Savior, the Savior of all humanity. You see Christ in your baptism and in every baptism here in our parish, because it is the pierced Jesus who reaches down and pulls your dead in sin body out of that water and breathes into you new life, just like He did a few minutes ago to marry Eileen in her holy baptism. It is the bloody and crucified Jesus who paints his name onto your forehead and upon your heart. And you see Jesus in the forgiveness of your sins. Sure, I mean, your pastor with his dirty glasses, his crooked chasuble, certainly doesn't look like Jesus. But listen, aren't those the words of Jesus that he speaks? Aren't those Christ's very gifts that he brings? And you see Jesus in the supper speaking over bread and wine become body and blood. This is my body. This is my blood given for you. For you. Always given for you. For the forgiveness of all of your sins. For your life everlasting. For your salvation. So yes, your Lord Christ rides on. He rides on in majesty, in lowly pomp. He rides on to die. To die for your sin, so that you will never die forever. Jesus takes all of your sins, those little trivial ones that you'll openly confess because they are so easy, and the scary, the horrible ones that you're deathly afraid to even breathe a word of. He rides on so that on Friday he may take them all up onto that cross outside of Jerusalem in his beaten and broken and crucified body so that he may give you life everlasting in return. Life that you could never earn on your own. Life you could never work your way into. Life that is given as gift, a gracious and a free gift from a loving God and Father. Sir, we wish to see Jesus, they cried. It really is an embarrassment of riches that we have. There's no need to go and try to seek Jesus among the pressing crowds. Because he was lifted up, because he did fall into the ground dead, because he rose again, glorified and triumphant, you see him. You see Jesus. You behold the man in all of his gifts given for you, his life given for yours. A gift so precious, a gift so astoundingly beyond measure, that your greatest response is to praise and to acknowledge him to be the Lord, the King of glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.